It is a busy day in our community, so let's get right into that news now. A collaboration between UNC and the U.S. Department of State is about to celebrate 9 years of diplomacy. The program sends diplomats abroad, but not in the way you might think. They aren't there on government business, but instead to spread the message of hip-hop. Here's 97.9 The Hill's Brianna Adkinson with more on this international program and its Chapel Hill roots.
Tusef from Senegal, Zlijay is a DJ from Bosnia.
Signatures from hip-hop artists around the world line the wall of UNC's Beat Lab. Located on the bottom floor of Hill Hall, the Beat Lab is a community space where visitors can use DJ and digital equipment to make music. But music professor and Beat Lab founder Mark Katz says it goes beyond just the walls of UNC. It's also the spiritual home of an international hip-hop ambassador program called Next Level.
I just call it hip-hop diplomacy. That's kind of the simplest way to think about it. So it's a form of what's known as cultural diplomacy, which is when two nations share aspects of each other's culture as a way of creating stronger relationships, mutual understanding.
In the program, rappers, dancers, DJs, beatboxers, and aerosol artists are put in four-person teams. They are then sent on two-week residencies around the world. There, they host workshops on various hip-hop skills, have public performances, and lead spontaneous hip-hop circles called cyphers. Katz says the purpose of Next Level is to promote a cross-cultural exchange.
And the point is to make connections and build bridges across lines of difference and difference in culture, nationality, language, and so on through hip-hop.
In addition to being the creator of the Beat Lab, Katz is also the founder of Next Level. Katz, however, didn't start out in a hip-hop musical background. In fact, he's trained as a classical violinist. He's always liked listening to hip-hop music, but he didn't become fully immersed until he wrote his first book about music technology. In it was a chapter about DJ battles, where he spent years doing research on the art of DJing.
I interviewed people, I learned how to DJ, I learned how to scratch, I became friends with hip-hop artists, and then I started collaborating with hip-hop artists as co-teachers. And so it built up over the last, really now, 24 years.
One day, a colleague and local hip-hop artist named Pierce Freelon told Katz about an opportunity. The U.S. Department of State was looking to build a hip-hop and urban music program.
Part of it was simply, this is a cool opportunity, I should try for it, and I have all these amazing friends and colleagues I could work with.
But he also knew that his experience as a professor would afford him an institutional clout that unfortunately everyone doesn't have access to.
Even though I'm a white person who is not a hip-hop artist, it was actually easier for me to get into this world of hip-hop diplomacy than it might have been for someone who, like a lot of the people that we work with, there are these amazing artists but aren't in these kind of elite institutions.
Katz has since passed the mic to Next Level alum and now director Junius Brickhouse. Since launching their first trip in 2014, Next Level diplomats have been to more than 40 countries. Yeah. Beatmaker Susie Analog has been to 2 countries through Next Level. She went to Uganda in 2015 and returned for a second trip to Ghana in 2022. She says both trips have had such a major impact on her life.
Next Level has meant a lot to me as an Afro-Indigenous person. To be able to be a part of a program that is a global program, but has allowed me to travel to places on the continent of Africa that I can come in and connect with community.
In her classes, she taught students how to build a beat, count bars, and create loops using technology. They said the students in their classes came with a range of skills. Some had never created a beat before, while others were self-taught.
Beat making, it doesn't matter if I'm in Kampala or Chapel Hill or Ghana or New York City. It's just not a lot of places to specifically learn how to make beats and to focus on learning the skills of that. So there's just impact in the opportunity itself.
And this impact continues beyond her Next Level trips. Another piece of the initiative is a program called Next Level Global. Instead of sending artists internationally, Next Level brings some of their most talented students back to the U.S. One of Analog's students was chosen last year.
I was in New York when she was there, so I went and met her and took her to have her first New York pizza slice. She had never had, you know, New York pizza. And it's just, that's what it's all about. And for her to go back to her community and just bring people together through what she's working on and get inspired.
And Analog says this learning exchange works both ways. It's also given them a cultural experience they couldn't have gotten anywhere else.
I rode a camel. Next level, I fed giraffes. I took care of a baby elephant. Like, in addition to teaching, you know, I've had these really awesome experiences with Next Level. I just hope it's a program that just continues on and on and on.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brianna Atkinson.
Thank you, Brianna. You can find a print version of that story on our website, chapelboro.com. We have some meetings happening in local government tonight. First in Carrboro, where the town council will meet at 7 to consider authorizing an agreement with Orange County, Chapel Hill, and Hillsboro to create a new intergovernment climate council of Orange County. The Orange County commissioners also meet at 7 with an agenda that includes discussion of transportation priorities, how to use opioid settlement funds, and a report from the county's Library Services Task Force. The Chapel Hill Town Council meets tomorrow night, but many folks locally are still processing a town council work session from last week. The Housing Choice Initiative being discussed by the town of Chapel Hill has caught the attention of many residents. The government is exploring whether to change one of its main residential zoning laws to allow for more smaller homes to be built, like duplexes and triplexes. After some initial feedback from council and community members, Chapel Hill staff shared last week during a work session that they're scaling back the exploration, studying whether just duplexes would work within R1 zones and create more housing options. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger spoke with me a few days after that work session. She shared why the town's exploring these options and how it's just one way Chapel Hill wants to address the missing middle in housing.
40 years ago, we agreed not to sprawl. And we have over 40,000 people driving into Chapel Hill for work every day. And yes, some of those people are never moving here for other reasons, but we've surveyed folks. The university has surveyed folks to find out they really would like the options for living here, but they need something between, you know, some want apartments and more affordable apartments, some want homes, but not the million-dollar homes. So we just don't have enough stock. So we're really taking a look at how we do that. And the council has been approving townhomes recently, which will give us more stock in this, in more affordable but not necessarily affordable ranges, if that makes any sense. So we have people who are make salaries that they could afford to buy a townhome. There just aren't that many out there to buy. So we're looking at all those opportunities as well, and there'll be some other tools that will be brought forward. This was just one tool to take a look at and have conversation with. We need to know, is this going to have any impact out of the 247 neighborhoods? How many neighborhoods are actually going to be impacted? So we really need to take a look at this and figure out the best path forward for Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger speaking there. You can find that full conversation in the News on the Hill section of chapelboro.com. Some transportation news now. Nationwide ground stop happened this morning for all Southwest airline flights, and that had some effects over at Terminal 1 at RDU. Flights were able to resume at 11:45 this morning after their software issue was resolved, but over 1,000 flights were canceled nationally. Back locally, we've got some construction updates. First, we have one of the entrances to the University Place Mall here is closed as there is a lane change or a lane closure on South Estes at the Willow Drive entrance. The actual entrance to the mall off of Willow Drive back by Harris Teeter is still open, and the main mall entrance off Estes is also still open. But keep alert as changes do continue here at University Place as the redevelopment continues. Perhaps more noteworthy, as the part of the ongoing widening of Interstate 40 in Orange County, the North Carolina Department of Transportation is set to close a long stretch of the interstate near Hillsboro over the weekend. Contractors will close off 11.4 miles of I-40 East from Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. Starting at midnight, all eastbound lanes of the interstate will be closed to traffic at exit 163. That's where the interstate splits into I-85 North and I-40 East. You can find an article on chapelboro.com with more details there. General Assembly is back in session in state news. We'll be keeping an eye on that going forward. This comes after House Speaker Tim Moore visited Ukraine during the Assembly break. Time now to look into the world of sports, and not a whole lot going on right now, but we did just have a spring football game that was pretty exciting. And throughout the entire spring practice season, the theme for UNC football has been finishing. And you can understand why. It's something the Tar Heels didn't do real great last season, both season-long or in games. For the season, they started off 9-1 and then lost their last four games. The defense also consistently struggled to shut teams down in the fourth quarter. This year's team feels confident those struggles are a thing of the past. Here's what defensive end Kamen Rucker had to say after Saturday's spring game.
You know, the way that we ended, the way that we finished, because we're all about finishing. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish, and we did not finish well. And I feel like for us, that definitely set a fire underneath us and it allowed us to be more physical. We got to take the thinking out of it. We got to let our players play. We got to put our best pass rushers in. We got to put our best people in and put our guys in. That's going to allow us to make the best production, get things done on the field and stuff like that. So I feel like, you know, that definitely, the 9 wins definitely did cause us to look over and be like, this is not enough. We have to continue, we have to improve from this. And I feel like that this spring we definitely, alongside with the play calls, the attitudes of the coach, wavering us from being a coach-led team to a player-led team, we're going to make some noise, and I'm excited to see how this turns out.
UNC defensive end Kamen Rucker speaking there on the Tar Heels' improvement since the end of last season. Diamond Heels have a game against Charlotte tonight out at Boshammer Stadium. That's going to get started here shortly, right at 6 o'clock. We'll send you right to the game after the conclusion of News on the Hill. Looking over to tennis now, as the ACC tournament is poised to begin on Wednesday. No Tar Heel action in that tournament until Friday. That's partially because the women's team are the number one seed. It means they get a bye from both the first and second round, so they await to learn their Friday opponent. Men's team is the 4 seed, and they also start on Friday, and both of those tournaments taking place in Cary.